Hello, and welcome to Adobe's podcast, which focuses on getting your garden ready for winter. I'm Louise Midgley, garden writer of the Sunday Express, and I'm welcoming back Adobe's horticultural director, Marcus Isles, to talk us through all the essential jobs that need doing over the next few weeks. Hello, Marcus. Thanks for joining us again.
Hi, Louise. Good to be back.
Well, there's no doubt autumn has well and truly arrived. So today, Marcus and I will be chatting about how best to prepare our gardens for winter. I think it'd be fair to say that most people focus their attention on gardening during spring and summer, and yet there are plenty of creative jobs to get stuck into during the colder months of the year. So perhaps you could talk us through some of the tasks we could all be doing in our gardens to get them ready for winter.
Yes, this time of year, it can seem like a very secondary part when all the excitement of spring and summer, but actually there's a whole new season out there to be preparing your garden for the winter, but also to add colour and interest to your garden even at this time of year. So as a lot of the summer blooms fade away, there are a lot of plants that actually specifically do flower and do add interest to your garden over the autumn and winter months. And there's also a lot of preparation work to get ready for next spring as well. So it's an important time of year for gardeners to get ready for the winter, be able to tidy up, but also to add colour and interest in to appreciate over the cooler months.
Sure. I suppose the more work you do now, the better your garden is going to be in the spring, because gardening is always about working in advance, isn't it?
It is. You can wait till the spring if you really don't have the time or if we don't have the weather. So you're not going to miss out on anything. But if you can get ahead of time, you'll get much better results in the spring and you'll get things performing earlier. So the soil is still warm at this time. So anything that you can get planted now, especially shrubs and trees and things like that, they will be able to grow away really quickly in the spring. And I would really get people focused on that at this time of year to do some preparation now, because it will be a lot better.
And so what about planting up some seasonal pots and containers?
Yeah, there's a fantastic selection that's improved over the last few years of winter interest plants. So we actually bring in a lot of things like pansies and violas, of course, which are fantastic. They're really hardy. They'll tolerate any of the cold weather and will flower as more and more as the days warm up in the spring, but they will still flower over the winter period. But also a lot of the hanging basket plants and tub plants, which are available to combine with those to add interests of foliage. So things like hardy ferns, little dwarf shrubs, conifers, heathers. There's a vast array of things. And I would suggest sort of working out a colour theme that you like. So if you want to have white variegated plants, you can have white variegated ivy, for example. You can look at little soft pink violas, pansies, or little cyclamen at this time of year as well. So you can create a really nice themed container, which will give you loads of interest over the winter months.
And Marcus, I think you can buy little packs of mini shrubs, little tiny skimmias. You get sometimes six in a pack, which are really good for pots and containers. And then, of course, you can either repot them into a larger container when they've grown a bit bigger, or you can put them into the garden.
We do ranges like that, so in carry packs, but also individually. It's a great thing to be able to buy a little shrub, a shrub liner that's actually been growing on for a season or so, to be able to use it for winter interest. And then, as you say, you can actually in the spring then transfer it into a place in the garden when you can allow it to grow and develop. So it's really good value way of adding plants to your garden as well.
Yeah, and underplant with bulbs, that helps as well. That gives a little bit of an extra degree of colour, doesn't it, in the spring?
Yes, we're sort of at the peak now of bulb sales. So October is the time when we really do sell the maximum amount of our bulb stock. We have a good selection available, but I would urge people to make sure they don't leave it too much longer. The selection does reduce as we go through the season. So getting dwarf daffodils in, crocuses in, tulips, of course, there's a vast array of bulbs that are still available and able to be planted out directly now as you're clearing your borders down, starting to put spring flowering plants in, and then underplanting in containers and in borders with bulbs will give you a fantastic splash of colour in the spring.
And Marcus, you mentioned tidying down your borders. I think I would also mention that not to be too tidy when you tidy your borders, because lots of butterflies and moths leave caterpillars and chrysalis. They bury underneath the garden debris of the leaves. So not to be too tidy, to cut down the sort of the perennials that turn to mush, but any of the other perennials that maybe have lovely seed heads, so echinops, coneflowers or sunflowers, or other perennials such as phlomis and phlox that have lovely strong stems can be used by insects over winter. So not to be necessarily too tidy at the moment, just to help wildlife.
Yeah, I think wildlife is actually becoming a continuing and increasing focus for a lot of our customers. I would urge, before you do any tidying up, to think about what you're doing, why you're doing it, and what you could be disturbing in terms of a natural environment for wildlife to shelter over the winter. You can also use it as a bit of an excuse, because you can say, well, I've left all of that because I'm going to be looking after nature. So think of it as less work, but it also keeps the soil warmer. So you're protecting the roots of some of the more delicate plants. And in some cases, of course, we would suggest that people put some mulch actually on top of that, so that you actually are giving more insulation. If we do have a very severe winter, which we never know until it comes, if you can protect the roots by leaving some of the debris down, putting some organic manure down or some bark or something as well, then that will improve the plant's protection over that winter period and make sure that things are ready to be really shooting away quickly in the spring. So really agree with you. Don't over tidy your garden. The seed heads as well, of course, there's lots of grasses that are flowering now. And I would urge people to leave those seed heads on, because when on a frosty morning, when you're walking around in the garden, frosted seed heads of grasses look absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. And also, you know, when you say about putting the mulch on top of all that decaying plant material, the earthworms are going to come up and take a lot of that down and put it into the soil, improve the soil's fertility. It's going to do the garden a lot of good as well.
Yes, I think, of course, we're all very conscious now of what composts we're buying and what the ingredients are of that compost. And in a lot of cases, we're removing organic matter from our gardens, maybe burning it or hopefully composting it, but in some cases, putting it into green bins and having it taken away. Whereas actually, it's really good organic matter to be certainly composting, but also leaving on borders to protect the plants underneath, and then allowing, as you say, the worms to do the composting for us.
Well, the number of people growing fruit and vegetables has risen dramatically over the past few years. So what edibles can be grown over the winter period?
There's still time for onions and garlic, so planting out during October. So those options are available in store. The other ranges, you know, if you've got a greenhouse, you've got somewhere where you can supplement with a bit of protection and heat, then continuing to sow salad crops and things like that, which will germinate very quickly, given a little bit of heat and good light, and they will grow and you can cut and come again type of salad crops. The key things to be planting out now are soft fruit and fruit trees. There's a lot of the nurseries that do grow the stock on during the summer months to make sure that it's large enough for planting out in the garden. All that stock is now becoming available, and we're starting to have that availability in store, and there'll be continuing presence online as well of that range. So it's absolutely the time to be planting fruit trees and soft fruit out. We're just on the end of the season for picking, of course. So if you've been looking over into somebody else's garden or allotment or whatever and thinking, actually, I wish I was doing that, then now is the time. Take action straight away. Don't wait till the spring. Trees and the soft fruit bushes will do a lot better if they're planted now. Raspberries, blackcurrants, white currants, fruit trees of apples, pears, etc., plums. Good availability now. And so I would really stress that people do get out there and start to plant up, so that you've got some good crops coming on for next year.
And greengages, I love them. I've really got into greengages in the last few years. And Marcus, this is also a good time to pick apples and make apple crumble and apple pies. We've got lots of cooking apples in our garden, which I use for that. So there's still crops to be picked, aren't there?
Yes, certainly. I've got at the moment lots of courgettes, and I've got lots of green tomatoes as well, which I don't think are now going to ripen. So I've got a standby green tomato chutney recipe, which was handed down to me by my grandmother. And so that always comes out at this time of year. So yeah, make sure you keep all the crops that you have available and make sure you use them. There's always something to do with things that you have at this point in the year.
It was a good year for courgettes, wasn't it? Have you ever made courgette spaghetti when you like shred it up? It takes hardly any cooking at all. It looks a little bit like spaghetti, but it's delicious.
Yeah, and I've also grown the spaghetti squash this year.
Oh, yes, yes.
For the last few years, I haven't been able to, but I got some new raised beds in the garden this year. So that was one of the first things I put in. So we had that at the weekend, and would certainly say to people, all you do is cut it in half, take the seeds out, salt and pepper, and roast it with a little bit of oil. And you just scrape it out and it comes out just like spaghetti, and fantastic.
Well, while many plants are dormant during winter, there are several that choose the coldest months of the year to put on a stunning performance. Which are the best plants for adding colour, scent and form to a garden?
I think winter flowering shrubs are a real good addition to a garden and can get a bit forgotten during the spring and summer months, where people are doing a lot of impulse buying from garden centres, buy all of those sort of topical things that are flowering at that period. But at this time of year, of course, we like to bring in things like winter flowering viburnums. So Viburnum tinus, which is just a fantastic plant. It's evergreen. It has white flowers. And it's such a good doer. It really will survive in most positions within most gardens, really hardy as well, will grow all across the UK. It's lovely to see that starting to come into bud and flower this time of year. Another key one at this time is Skimmia rubella. So this is a beautiful, beautiful shrub. When you buy it, as it's in store now, you have what looks like the flower head, but it's actually the buds. It's not actually flowering yet. It's actually red clusters of the buds on the plant. And then that opens up as you go past Christmas, and it has a beautifully scented flower, which you can appreciate in early spring. Again, a really good performing plant. It is ericaceous, so it does need acid soil. So you need to check your soil. But even if you've got alkaline soil, then I would suggest growing it in a pot in John and Nis ericaceous compost. But that is a really good performer. Lots of other things which are for berries, of course, at this time. So pyracanthus, things like that, which are also good to plant because they will support wildlife as well. So the birds love to be pecking away at those during the winter months.
Yes, and some of the highly scented shrubs such as Sarcococca and Viburnum bodnantense and Daphne bellua are incredibly scented in the winter. I mean, far more scented than summer scented shrubs, in fact. And I think that's just because they need to work that little bit harder to draw in pollinators, because the scent has to travel that bit further. And there's only a few active pollinators on warm days. And also, Marcus, what about colourful stems? Cornus and salix look fantastic in the winter. The form of that is really lovely in a garden.
Yeah, I think as the brashness of the summer flowering herbaceous, etc., starts to fade away, then there's a sort of reset in your mind, really, about the shape and the form of your garden. As we find in the autumn, the grasses come into the forefront so that you actually get a much more appreciation from the different shades of colours and the variegation and the flower heads in grasses. As you say, with the different colour cornice stems, so as the leaves start to drop away in the autumn, then the stem colours seem to intensify and you get the beautiful reds and yellows of different varieties and the salix, as you said, as well. So there is lots of different shapes, forms, textures to mix in with the evergreens of the Viburnum tinus and Skimmias and things like that, which can really add a whole different level to your garden during the winter months.
I just think traditionally people think that, you know, there isn't much going on in a garden in winter. And yet if you visit a professionally gardened garden like the RHS or National Trust Properties, who now do wonderful winter gardens, you can walk around them with winter flowering heathers and you look at them and you think, oh my goodness, there's just masses of colour. And it is from flowers and from the stems and from berries, bulbs. They're wonderful. That's a great place to have inspiration. And of course, going to the garden centre where they're all on sale is also very useful as well.
Yeah, I think it's just having a fresh look at it at this time of year. So as the summer flowers fade away, and I'm sure people have had a really good success, it's been a great growing year, things have performed really well. But if your garden's starting to look a little bit as if it's lacking something, then now's the time to go into the garden centre and get inspired by the different shapes and forms and colours that are available. You don't have to then do a complete removal of everything spring and summer, but it's then combining those two seasons together. So remembering what you've had for the summer and then bringing some of these pops of colour back into the borders for the autumn, because they're going to be long-standing. They'll be there every year. And as you say, then they'll give you that really good four seasons of colour, which is what we're all looking for in our gardens.
Yeah, and it really raises your spirits when you look out of the window on a winter's day and you've got something pretty to look at, or even if you can walk around the garden when the weather's lovely. Well, nobody wants to lose any of their cherished plants over winter, so what are the best ways to protect them from the worst of the weather?
Yeah, so there's a lot of focus on frost damage over winter months, but you've got to think about everything. So frost, of course, wind does a lot of damage, and poor drainage does a lot of damage as well. So just in that order, so frost, we do a frost protection fleece, of course, which is a thin mesh which you can put on plants to protect them, just having it ready and available for if we do have a really cold snap, which is going down into, you know, below -5 into -10, etc. So just being ready for that. And also making sure that you put canes in to hold it up above the plant, because if it's resting on the foliage, the frost can still burn. So making sure that it's raised above. So you're creating a little air pocket around the plant, which will protect it. We also do jacket versions of those as well. So if you have individual plants in containers that you want to protect, there's a frost jacket that you can put over to protect it. Wind does a significant amount of damage over the winter, and we do seem to have some of these terrible cold winds. So anything that's got evergreen foliage and then has a very cold, drying wind, and then if you've got frost in the ground as well, the plant can't take up water because the ground is frosty, and the cold wind just desiccates the foliage. So it removes the moisture from the leaves, and that's when you get all this burning. So just a bit of shelter net or something like that can be wrapped around an evergreen plant on a very windy period of weather. And that just helps to dissipate that wind and protect the foliage. And then drainage, really key to check your pots. Make sure you've got free draining containers, because waterlogging, I've got lavenders at home in containers, and I know if they fill up with water, then the lavenders will rot off because they need to be in free draining soil. So making sure your pots are free draining, and making sure any other areas of your garden, if you have got standing water, see if you can help it drain away so that your plants aren't sitting in excessively wet soil.
And you can raise your pots off the ground by putting them on those terracotta pot feet, can't you?
Yeah, pot feet are absolutely ideal and essential, really. What happens is when a pot is sitting on a patio, then over a period of time, the silt that's in the soil drains through the bottom of the pot, almost creates a seal around the container. And there's many times that I've seen pictures of people's plants where they say, I don't know why it's died, but you can see the soil has just become completely saturated, wet soil with roots, then frost, and that's what kills the plants. Up on pot feet, make sure it's free draining.
Yeah, and if necessary, wrap the pot in bubble wrap to give it a bit of extra insulation for the roots.
Yes, that's a good idea as well.
And you know, Marcus, I think that even if you've got an unheated greenhouse or a cold frame, that's always going to be just 3 or 4 degrees warmer than the outside temperature. So you could always move things into there if need be.
There's a big trend now for people being a bit more adventurous with their plants. We've sold a lot of bananas this year, agaves, things like that. They're are going to really struggle, especially if you're anywhere above the Midlands in the UK. So putting them into protected area. So if you've got a porch or, as you say, a cold greenhouse, one of the little shelter grow houses that will give it a bit of protection. Some people have got conservatories on the back of their house that they don't heat, but will still give protection for plants over the winter. So there's lots of places that you can actually shelter your plants to make sure that they carry through. And of course, if you've got a little bit of heat in a greenhouse, then saving things like geraniums and fuchsias and things like that. So a lot of those plants will die off, of course, in the frost, and then we replace them next year. But if you want to try and keep them, then moving those into a sheltered spot now before the frost start, and you'll be able to keep those over the winter and take cuttings from them next year.
Yes, that's a really good idea, because all the tender plants can be kept, and then you haven't got to invest so much the following year, have you? If, like me, you love spotting wildlife in your garden, there's always plenty to see from now until spring, and that's because there are fewer places to hide once the trees and shrubs drop their leaves. What should we be looking for in our gardens, and how can we encourage more wildlife to come in?
As we spoke about earlier, I think it's really making sure that you've got the habitats for the different wildlife that you want to attract and keep in your garden. Not being too tidy, making sure you've got stacks of logs or clippings, twigs, any prunings that you are taking, rather than just putting it straight on the compost heap, maybe put those in bundles around the back of borders, underneath hedges. Hedgehogs, of course, are an obvious thing that we're wanting to make sure have got somewhere to protect themselves over the winter months to hibernate. And those are ideal places that they would be looking for. And if it's all clean and tidy, they've got no way of gathering sticks and everything together to make a nice place to settle down for the winter. All of those beneficial bugs and things that we need as well, so that any wildlife that is around has got some meals to be had, creating these environments where you can give some protection to wildlife will certainly encourage more and more into the garden.
And if you're going to feed birds, I think it's really important to remember that you're putting fresh water out or bird feed in a feeder to always keep them scrupulously clean, to regularly clean them out, because they do harbour infections, and you want to keep the birds healthy as well as well fed.
Yes, for sure. And over the summer months, sometimes a lot of people may stop feeding the birds because there's a lot of insects and things for them to be feeding on. But certainly from now onwards, then the food supplies can start to dry up, and therefore getting back into that regular routine of putting out bird food. Certainly when I put a full feeder out, it's literally within a matter of a day or so that it's been completely cleared. And that's certainly helping. I found a lot more species of birds coming into the garden because it becomes the drive-through or the fly-through equivalent of where they know they can drop off and get something nice and fresh. And the range of feeds that are now in store are amazing, and lots that are very specific to different bird species. So you can attract those into your garden, which is a great thing to see over the winter months.
Yes, I put out the little tiny black Niger seeds, which you obviously have to have a special container for it, otherwise they're going to fall through the holes. And that attracted loads of finches in, goldfinches and greenfinches, which was wonderful to see. What do you love most about your garden in winter, Marcus?
I think the garden changes into a totally different environment, and I do love winter flowering plants. So I love the summer herbaceous and all that variety of colour, and I love roses, but I've also got the winter flowering things. So as we've mentioned, the viburnums, tinus and bonnentensis. So the viburnum tinus with its beautiful white flowers, bonnentensis with its pink flowers and super scented, those sort of things really coming to the fore over the winter months. Sarcococca I've got running along the edges of my borders, which makes a fantastic box hedging like border edge. But then over the winter, as the flowers start to come through, the scent is absolutely amazing and is quite commonly known as the flowering box. So I would certainly say there's a place in every garden for a sarcococca, and also daphnes as well. It was many, many years ago when I first started, when I was at school, and there was a daphne in Odora aurea marginata, which was in this border at this nursing home where I used to do the garden. It was a long way away from the footpath that used to go past the property, but people used to come and knock at the gate and say, "What on earth is the smell? You know, where is that coming from?" Because it just would go so far. So in every garden I've had ever since, there is always a daphne in there because of the super winter scent.
Yeah, I think a daphne or a sarcococca are fantastic when they're planted next to an entrance or by the back door, so that whenever you go in and come out, you smell it all the time. And also, you know, a garden during the winter is never really fully dormant, is it? You can always wander around and see signs of life everywhere. Sedums have got little tiny buds which look a little bit like mini cabbages starting to form, and there's always a sign of spring bulbs emerging as well. But Marcus, to make sure we get the most from our gardens next year, what jobs would you prioritise at the moment?
So a lot of planning is required at this time of year. While it's fresh in your mind about what you've achieved in your garden, whether you're growing flowers or whether you're growing your own vegetables and fruit, then everything should be fresh in your mind. So on a bad gardening day, so when it's raining and you really don't want to go out, make sure you sit down and devote some time to planning what you need to be doing to get ready for next spring. Then taking the opportunity for popping into the garden centre at this time of year to get inspiration for the autumn and winter flowering plants that you should be planting now. In some cases, they may be quite small, but remember, these are going to be growing on for year after year and giving you pleasure every winter going forward. So great opportunity to get those things in. Not too much tidying. Okay, the leaves are going to be starting to fall in earnest soon, but spending time on certain areas of the garden, of course, on lawns, they can cause a lot of damage if they're left. So you've got to clear off of grass. But in other areas, as we've said, then leave them to insulate borders and the worms will do their business in composting. And then really getting closer to Christmas, then a lot of the new season vegetables and seeds and things will start to become available. So potatoes start to come in towards the end of the year. So getting that plan in place so that as soon as that stock starts to arrive, there's massive demand. Of course, we've found it very difficult to keep stocks at the right levels during this year because the demand has been so high. We're securing more and more stock for next spring. But make sure you don't get left behind by everybody else getting in the queue and getting well planned and getting there. List of the plants that they're going to be growing. If you're doing grow your own in raised beds, or if you're wanting to be planting soft fruit or fruit trees, or if you're wanting to, you know, growing a lot of plants from seed, we will immediately after Christmas be having all of the new young plants in as well, and all the new summer flowering bulbs. So there's a lot to get planning for. Advice that I give to people at this time of year is going around with some some labels in the garden so you can remember where certain things are and also where you would think that you would need some additional shrub or a tree or something. It's quite easy. And also use your camera. So on your smartphone or whatever, go around, take pictures, remind yourself, writing down things so that you can actually refer to them and give yourself a little bit of an action plan to get ready for spring.
Well, thank you, Marcus. All that useful advice. I think we're all going to be very busy over the next few weeks, but that is all we have time for at the moment. To listen to more podcasts and find extra gardening help and advice, visit dobbies.com and do stay tuned for our next podcast, which is coming out shortly.